podcast. This is a very special episode because we are live at StokerCon 2018. We're sitting in our hotel room at the Providence Biltmore, and Mackenzie and I are here together in person for this episode, and we are also joined by our good friend Catherine McGee.
Woo!
And Catherine is our friend from our grad school program, and she is also a horror writer who writes short stories and all kinds of other fun things. So she's joining us today, and we're going to be talking about how our experience at StokerCon has been as we are here on the last day.
We're going to talk about classes and a couple of the really good panels and stuff. So just an overall overview. Did you have anything really cool that you went to, Kat? What were your very favorite things?
Yes, I really enjoyed Grady Hendrix's workshop, which I know you guys were both with me on. Mm-hmm. He's the author of Paperbacks from Hell, which is a nonfiction book that won the Stoker last night and talks about horror paperbacks from the 70s and 80s. And he did this wonderful workshop where he talked about how to elicit emotion from your writing. His fiction is also really incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all really enjoyed My Best Friend's Exorcism.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought that workshop was so good because it was really practical. And he brought it down to the sentence level. He took excerpts from people's stories in the class and put it up on the projector and sort of talked about how to make a sentence or a paragraph a lot stronger by modifying the language. A lot of deleting adverbs, mm-hmm. Checking yourself on how many adjectives you use.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Taking out was.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that, I've been telling people this all weekend, like if that was the only reason I came, like if that was the only thing I did all weekend, it would have been worth the entire weekend.
Right. 100%.
Right. Yeah. Because he, like he didn't say anything that was super groundbreaking, but the way he broke it down was like from a totally, from a perspective that I've, yeah. Not, it just kind of blew my mind open, and it's making me already think of how I can go through my work
and like
fix
revise.
It and yeah. revise. And his whole thing was examining and unpacking, and that like everything can be unpacked, and to get out of the micro and macro cliches.
Yeah, that was also, yeah, that was definitely a really good advice. Very
Absolutely.
Sound.
And I think it's all stuff you kind of know instinctively as a writer and you've been told maybe before, but having someone break it down for you and give you rules is helpful because you could yeah. literally go through your manuscript and check for some of these words.
And, yeah.
And some of it, too, I feel like is there are things that you've seen other writers be able to pull off, and so you're almost trying to, like, do it yourself, you know? But then it just ends up still sort of being the same and mediocre.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
still isn't great. Like, whatever they did is theirs, and so you still need to find, like, your own way and delete all of those unnecessary words.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I also liked his perspective that, for him, writing is about delivering emotion.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's all I'm doing. I'm delivering emotion to a reader. I just thought that was, I mean, you really know that, like you said, you kind of mm-hmm. instinctively know this already, but just hearing him say it, I'm like, oh, that's right. I'm just looking to create a certain emotional reaction in a reader, and how can I translate that onto the page in a very, like, simple
yeah.
way?
And I think there's this directness to his prose, but mm-hmm. it's direct in the way it's formulated, but there's also a lot of detail.
Mm-hmm.
So My Best Friend's Exorcism, I think, was really effective because there's all of these physical details, and that's something he talked about, was using key physical details so the reader believes you and really knows what's there. And by the time I got to the end of that book, I was just sobbing.
Yeah.
And oh, yeah.
thinking about my best friend from high school.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. We talked a lot about that, too. Any other panels? What else did you really love? I know that Lisa
yeah.
and I went to the Fox Sisters presentation that Grady
did. I wish
did.
I could have gone to that, yeah.
It was pretty incredible.
Yeah.
I feel like this was just the weekend of Grady Hendrix, because I went to a lot of panels with Grady
so
Hendrix.
So cool.
And he's, like, so, like, the performance was so cool. We found out about, like, he did, like, a one-man performance of the history of spiritualism.
Could we call it a monologue?
It was kind of a monologue, although I mean, yeah, I think I would call it a monologue.
I think you'd call it a monologue. I just don't know if a monologue is like
it was a dramatic time. It was a dramatic presentation.
There we go. That's a good one. A dramatic retelling or something. Okay.
It all sounds dramatic.
I mean, it was very cool. Like in we had this that crazy storm happening, and so at the end he like turned off all the lights and like the storm was howling. He lit a candle and he was like.
The horror conference really crescendoed with this massive storm.
The bomb cyclone is what they called it, which is really a nor'easter. I don't know. I'm new to the East Coast, so.
I just want to say bomb cyclone because it sounds cool.
It does sound cool.
One of the windows broke out in the ballroom where they did the Stoker Awards last night.
Yeah, did it?
It just like blew out
2 days ago.
Oh, that was that. It was that window.
Would have been. Okay. Yeah.
Got it. But still.
But still.
Absolutely.
So,
any other panels that you went to that like really blew your mind or opened up something?
Yeah, I went to a few things focused on women. Mm-hmm. So I went to a workshop with Heather Herman and then one other author. I should remember her name. I'll find it while we're talking. Mm-hmm. But they talked about women and violence in fiction, mm-hmm. and how women have sort of been historically underrepresented as violent characters, but have in fact always been on the page in that way, just not necessarily in a way we recognize.
Interesting.
They had us read this story written by a woman, I think in the 1800s, that was in a women's journal. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't at the time marketed as horror fiction, but it was a story about a debutante. It was called The Debutante. Story about this woman who's supposed to go to her coming out party, and she just wants to sit in her room and read, and so she befriends this hyena at the local zoo, and they cut the face off the maid in the house and put it on the hyena and send the hyena to the party.
Oh my god!
And no one realizes that it's this hyena with a bloody face on. And so she gets to avoid going to the party for a while and sits in her room reading Gulliver's Travels.
So we all get what we want.
It has like the ending's not super happy, but she's at least avoided the party for a while.
Nice.
That's all you want to do.
So I find that topic fascinating, just sort of thinking about how much horror has been written by women and with women characters. Like mm-hmm. Daphne Du Maurier's Rebecca feels like horror to me.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And it's one of my favorite books, but it's not billed as horror.
No.
You know, so I think there was a lot of ongoing discussion about that throughout the weekend. There was also a panel on Women in Horror Month and just the place of women in the genre right now.
Okay.
Was there anything that you found to be especially enlightening or something that you hadn't really thought of on that topic from that?
I think the Women in Horror Month panel was really well attended. Mm-hmm. There were men in the room as well, which was nice. And I just got this sense that there are a ton of women right now doing things in horror with both film and fiction writing. And I think it's a good time. Mm-hmm. You know, I think while over the last few decades, women may not have been represented as much as they should.
Yeah.
I think now there are a lot of opportunities. There's women's only anthologies. There are women in film focusing on, you know, mm-hmm. filmmaking by women and you know, one woman there was a filmmaker talking about how she's working on making a movie using only women in her cast or predominantly women in her crew. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So I've never felt discriminated against in the last few years. I've really been trying to get stuff out into the world in this genre. I've felt, you know, embraced with open arms. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think Women in Horror Month is a good idea to highlight the work by women, and I like that it's continuing, but I also feel like we're in probably a better place than we were because of all these people who paved a way for us.
Absolutely.
All the trailblazers who have made it so that, and I think there's a big focus now on being more inclusive, and it's like mm-hmm. that specifically and purposely being sought out.
Yeah.
And those things are opening up on purpose. So people are, like you said, doing all-female anthologies, mm-hmm. looking, specifically putting out calls for female voices.
Absolutely.
In this genre. So it's pretty exciting times, I think. And I think a lot of wrongs are being righted in some ways.
Yeah.
We can absolutely say that. Yeah, I think so.
Absolutely.
Did you go to any of the panels that were about publishing? Did anything like that?
Yes. One of the best things I went to was yesterday. It was about how to talk to librarians and get your book in libraries.
Yeah, we heard about that one.
Yeah, and that was really, really useful. And I'm going to have to look. I have all of these notes, and now I can't remember anything that was said during the panel, but it was really practical and focused on even the language you should use when you call a library and who you should ask to talk to.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was really, really great.
One of the, while you're looking for that, one of the panels that I really enjoyed was it was traditional versus, I guess, just untraditional publishing.
It was like traditional versus untraditional, but it was like all the ways, so like self-publishing, indie publishing, and traditional publishing. And so it was all these authors that have done it in various routes talking about the pros and cons of choosing whichever path to publishing.
And absolutely. And I really liked too that nobody followed that exact path. You know, nobody said, well, first I wrote a really good book and that first book that I wrote was amazing. And so I got an agent and that agent was able to sell it. And then I made $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody said that, which is sort of what we're fed at our, at least not fed, but it's like, When you're younger, when you're a kid, that's sort of what you believe to happen. And then as you grow, as you attend school, as you attend these sort of cons, that just gets completely wiped off the map. And you're like, no, actually, this like straight path is more of a forest. You just have to like finagle your way through.
Keep going.
You just have to keep going. And so you have to line up with indie publishers. Some people have had a lot of success with self-publishing. And traditional publishing is always wonderful, too.
Well, so, and they talked about the pros and cons. One of the authors mentioned that that because they went through a traditional publisher, they had a lot of support in marketing the book, and there's, like, a little bit more money towards, like, the cover and, like, the whole branding of the book.
Yeah.
But then there's the potential for that focus on your book to be just for a short amount of time, like right when it first comes out, and then it's kind of up to you.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas they were mentioning that with an indie publisher or self-publishing, all of that, it's up to you to do it. So you have some more freedom with how you do it and the venues you choose, but then it's all on you.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have that like team. And then they also talked about if you do go with a non-traditional route to publishing, it's extremely important to, you know, hire a good editor, hire a publicist, and actually shell out the money for quality, a quality team.
Absolutely.
If that is the route you choose, because it will pay you back later.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. It was just interesting to hear the different perspectives from authors who've done it different ways.
And it's important to, I think about the broad range of opportunities that are available and sort of be strategic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think so. I see you holding some notes there, Kat.
I have my notes. I have my notes out.
Okay.
So the librarian panel I was talking about. I'm just going to read through some of the key stuff they said that I thought was really useful. So one was that some libraries only buy books through Ingram and Baker and Taylor. So if you have the option of going with a publisher that distributes through those outlets, you know, do that because that may be the only way libraries would necessarily get your book.
Wow,
interesting.
Didn't know that.
Mm-mm. No.
She said librarians rely on Goodreads, but not really Amazon in terms of reading the reviews. So they know Amazon reviews can sometimes be skewed, so they tend to look at Goodreads and look at really the 2- and 5-star reviews. So to figure out what people really think about a book and, and the reviews that are important to them are the ones that sort of give us not a sense of the plot and what happens in the book, but the tone and how it made the reader feel.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah. And like looking at the reasons why someone would reject a book. So figuring out if someone rejects it just because they don't like witches and it's, you know, there's witches in the book, that's helpful to them because they know a lot of other people might actually like that.
Yeah.
That's also very interesting to hear as even as a reader or a writer who wants to support other writers. Like I have a Goodreads account, and a lot of times I just, like, if I like the book, I just do, like, a 5-star review or a 4-star review or whatever, mm-hmm. and I don't actually write anything, but knowing that actually makes me feel like, oh,
yeah,
maybe my review, if I actually take the time to write a review of this book, that will actually do some good or help the author's work get out there because there's people looking at these reviews. That's interesting.
I think it's really important, and I'm trying to be better about doing it, but... Mm-hmm. I think sometimes that's one of the main things that boosts up the visibility of someone's project.
That's very cool.
Anywhere you can get a book into someone's hands, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so what else do you have there?
Librarians use Twitter. That is one of the main ways they connect with authors or learn about authors or
sort
of study
them. I
feel
like that needs to be like a bumper sticker. Librarians use Twitter.
I know.
That's awesome. Or a hashtag.
A hashtag. Hashtag well, librarians.
There's so much social media now, and if you're not someone who naturally uses it a lot, you want to be strategic. So it was interesting to know that that presence on Twitter can matter for them and that that community is very active on Twitter. They also said never piss off a librarian because they're all friends with each other.
Oh, wow.
And so like with any other, you know, industry, you just want to be nice
to
people.
Just be a kind, respectful person.
Don't be an asshole. We learned that lesson this weekend. Who was that? It was our friend Paul Tremblay who said that was one of his main takeaways. Like, just never be an asshole. Just don't do that.
Yeah. And hopefully you wouldn't anyway. But yeah,
exactly.
And then one of the other points was talking about events people have hosted at both libraries and bookstores and how they scheduled the events and made them happen and the importance of doing that whenever you can. So they were even talking about like a halfway to Halloween event at your local library. They have space, often don't have people on staff focused on horror, and would love someone to come in and say, I'd love to bring in some experts on the horror genre and do a panel halfway to Halloween and then again in October talking about horror. And that's sort of something anyone could do.
Yeah.
You know? And so you build up the relationship with your local library or your local bookstore.
Yeah.
You know, by...
By moderating
exactly
these events. That's so cool.
Absolutely.
And something I wouldn't have necessarily thought of.
No. I wouldn't have. I don't know. I guess I just thought that there was some kind of fairy that deposited all of the books for all of the libraries to all the good girls and boys, you know?
I mean, I think as the author, you've got to do, it sounds like, a lot of the work yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Grady Hendrix talked about how he has a spreadsheet of all of, you know, the bookstores and libraries he's visited or wants to go to, and really keeps track of what he's doing and is strategic about that follow-up.
Wow. That's very cool.
Yeah.
And so important because... You know, as anyone who's been in a bookstore knows, you can just walk into a bookstore and it's almost overwhelming to see all those books on there. Like, which one do I pick, you know?
Yeah.
So just thinking about how you can build those relationships with those people who are making the choices of what to even put on the shelf.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Very valuable.
Very valuable.
Yeah.
We talked some, too, about just marketing yourself as a writer in general, which is an awkward thing to do because you don't only want to be posting about your project. But one of the women on the panel, J.H. Moncrief, talked about how her book involves ghosts, and she tries to go out and do things in her life that she can write about that would be interesting to her readers. So she tries to visit known haunted places and write about it, like she visited some sort of haunted island.
Oh, cool.
And wrote about it, because then you're kind of bringing value to people outside your
that
known work.
That is awesome.
That's a very good idea.
And that's how you kind of open up people to open up exposure to yourself with people who might not have
without
known
just
about
tweeting
you.
About yourself.
Yeah,
yeah, that makes sense.
That's awesome.
And what an experience.
Yeah, you know? I want to go to haunted.
I want to go.
Let's just go to haunted island, guys.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
What about you, Lisa? Did you have any really good panels? Anything that you wanted to talk about for... I know we loved Grady Hendrix's panel.
Yeah, I mean, that was just the
that was
the main thing that I went to that I really loved. And, you know, there was the... I went to a lot of the same ones, like the women in horror stuff.
I liked the one about Shirley Jackson. There was a really good panel about... talking with about the Shirley Jackson Awards and everything, and mm-hmm. how Shirley Jackson's work is still her present, her influence mm-hmm. is still there in mm-hmm. a lot of books today. And you can tell by the people who say, oh, I'm a big Shirley Jackson fan, and then you read their work. And if you know Shirley Jackson well mm-hmm. enough, you can kind of find that route. It's like, oh my gosh, absolutely. So I definitely really liked that one.
That's cool.
Yeah, StokerCon overall, I have always felt like is just a solid use of your money. Like, there's so many things here.
So
there's
much
so many,
fun.
There's so many people to meet. And I mean, I always walk away the first day and go, it was worth everything. Just that,
for that one
day. Yeah, day. And then there's still two more. So, I don't know. I definitely feel like this is a serious tool to have.
I feel like
as a
writer. The programming is very high caliber. Like, very, a lot of it is, I mean, some of it, like you said, it's just informative and interesting to know and hear about, like, what's happening in the current publishing climate or the general horror genre as a whole.
Yeah.
But I also think there's a lot of stuff you can turn around and then practically use. Like the stuff we learned in that workshop, I can turn around and go home tomorrow and use that to make my writing better.
Absolutely.
I'm already, like, thinking of ways that I can improve just
yeah.
based on, you know, one workshop. But
exactly.
Yeah.
One, and also, like, just even just the cocktail parties and things, you know? Like,
especially the cocktail parties.
Yeah, a key word there is cocktail. but, no, it's amazing how welcome you feel in this community, and you'd expect horror writers to be super scary. Obviously, mm-hmm. Lisa and I are terrifying, but
super terrifying.
We're very scary. So it's always just such a pleasure to be just completely dumbfounded by their kindness, by everybody's complete and total understanding here. I
yeah.
really love it. It's a strong sense of community that Lisa and I have touched on in other episodes,
yeah.
and I can't talk enough about it.
Yeah. I think there's a big psychological benefit to coming to something like this.
Mm-hmm.
We were all in the same MFA program, mm-hmm. and when I went to school, I remember thinking, wow, this is incredible to be surrounded by all of these people who are also writing. And then here, you're surrounded by all these people who are also writing horror.
Yes.
Which is remarkable.
It's a very cool experience. So in addition to the programming and the workshops and the panels and all the value you get out of that, I think
the pitch sessions
a huge
too.
Chunk of the value is just talking to other people who are writing similar, not necessarily similar to what you're writing, but in the genre that you're writing in, that know the market, that know the genre, that like we talked about this in a couple other interviews with people, but that kind of look that you can sometimes get from people who aren't writers when you say A, that you're a writer,
yeah,
and B, that you write horror, there's always this kind of like eyebrow raise or like this turn, like they turn away or they
disconnect.
Say, ooh, I don't like horror or I don't read scary stuff or
yeah.
I don't like scary movies. And it's like this whole misunderstanding of what horror even is, which
yeah.
I think is a really exciting.
And how broad it is.
Yeah, I think it's a very exciting, one of the exciting things about being in this genre is that we get to kind of challenge that point, that perspective, or that that way that people see it.
That it's stereotype.
Like, yeah, we get to like challenge the stereotype and push the envelope and push people's perceptions of what horror even is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it's just fun to be around people who want to talk about that as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. And you don't have to qualify anything you say or explain yourself at all.
No, it's a total
really
homecoming.
Cool.
And
yeah.
I love it too. You'll be talking with somebody who is just absolutely wonderful, and then you realize that it's an author that you've been reading for the past 5 years, and you're just floored. You know,
yeah.
like, oh, that's cool. I had a conversation with you. I forgot that you were actually a human. You know, like...
puts everyone
instead
on this,
of a
like,
god.
Yeah, it puts everyone on this like humanized
yeah.
playing field and level playing field, and it brings us together in a really cool way. So
it's important.
This is actually my first time coming to this convention, and I hope to come again like every year. It's awesome.
It's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is my third year. I was at the convention in Vegas, and then on the Queen Mary in Long Beach, and now here. And every year I've come away with new stuff, met new people.
Yeah.
And it's always inspiring. I'm always so, you know, sad to leave, of course, but excited to get home and write.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a very compact weekend of filling the well. It's like fill the well.
Yeah.
And then you go home and you're like,
back
okay,
to regular life.
Back to regular life. I'm armed with all this new inspiration and creativity and all these new tools and all these new contacts and
yeah,
all these new venues of people that, you know, I can now connect with and share my writing with and read their writing, and it's just very cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. I can't stress enough how important this is for writers to come out of their cave mm-hmm. and shake some hands and to be brave. Be brave, little piglet, as my parents used to say.
So. Well, and a lot of us really are introverts, mm-hmm. you know?
Naturally, absolutely.
Naturally.
Yeah.
We gravitate towards writing because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and, yeah. you know, it's fun putting everyone in this environment together.
It's almost like a weird sociology experiment, you know?
Let's take all of these weird introverts and make them go to a cocktail party together.
And put them together, yeah.
But what a fun group, you
exactly.
know?
Exactly.
Well, and I feel like it that...
And different.
That's what makes it fun, because we are so introverted and used to being, like, alone with our thoughts and our words. But then we come together and... where we have to talk to each other and be out in public and, like, be, mm-hmm. like, to me, it's, like, very exciting and stimulating, but it's also, at the end of the days, I'm, like, so drained because, like,
it's a big...
I need that, like, me time to refill, like, recharge my batteries.
Yep.
But because we all have this super, this passionate focus, it's, like, even though we're introverted, we have this one thing in common, and it makes the conversation flow because we're all so excited to finally have people to talk to about it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Man,
so that in itself helps kind of soothe the discomfort a little bit because
totally.
We have this one thing to talk about already, and then that opens up friendships and we start to get more comfortable with each other the more we do it. But
absolutely.
It's yeah, pretty awesome.
I'm going through their little pamphlet right now, and there are some things that I just didn't get a chance to go to, and I'm bummed now. I can't wait for next year. Next year, StokerCon is going to be at Michigan.
It's going to be in Grand Rapids.
Grand Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
Grand Rapids, Michigan, May 9th through the 12th.
Yeah, so I'm already...
The Amway Grand Plaza Hotel.
Trying to plan how I can save up for my plane ticket to there, so...
You have 12 months.
I got 12... Actually,
everyone
a little more.
12 months to prepare.
Yeah, yeah. So, what do you think, ladies? Any last thoughts or things you want to
leave? Do it over again? Can we just keep doing it over again?
I know, I just want to say I don't
Groundhog
want it to be
Day
over.
Weekend. Yeah. What about you? Anything left, Lisa? How about you?
No, I think... that pretty much covers it for me. I had a great time, and I always at the end of it, it's like as much as I would love to stay and keep doing it, I am ready to go home and like sleep and like not talk to anyone.
Yep. Well, thank you so much, Catherine McGee, by the way, for
yes.
hanging out with us and coming over. She is a trooper. She came here. We were all out pretty late last night at the last cocktail party.
So,
not, like, the last one ever, but, like, of the, you know, of
it's
the weekend.
It's 9 in the morning.
And it's 9
yeah.
in the morning. And
yeah.
Kat and I are also on West Coast time, so technically it's...
Right.
We're
like
feeling like it's more like 6:30 or 7. So, you know, but we got this.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Where can we find you, Catherine? Where's your work located?
Oh.
Yeah.
I have a website.
Mm-hmm.
It's www.catherineemcgee.com.
Okay.
And I am a K-A-T-H-R-Y-N Catherine, so...
That's the right kind of Catherine.
That's the right kind of Catherine.
And do you have anything coming out that you're excited about or anything you're working on that...
Well, the thing I'm excited about right now is I'm moderating a new horror book club at the Last Bookstore in downtown LA. So if anyone lives in Los Angeles and is interested in doing a deeper dive into horror fiction... We're going to be meeting the last Sunday of each month starting at the end of March, and it's not too late to sign up. The book club is called The Thing in the Labyrinth.
Ooh,
so exciting.
We will be meeting upstairs after the store closes in the labyrinth part of the Lost Bookstore. So it will be very spooky. We'll be turning the lights down low.
Ooh.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah.
That building already has a nut. Like, it's such a...
The horror ball is
such
so
a mood there.
There's such a mood.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm really excited. Yeah, so I hope people will come and enjoy.
Excellent. Thank you. Yeah, we definitely encourage all of our listeners to check out Catherine McGee's website and then go find her at the Last Bookstore if you can. Lisa and I wrote for the Last Bookstore for a little while for their blog, Dwarf and Giant. Was absolutely an incredible experience. It's a good group to be associated with. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, and thank you very much, everybody. We hope that you stay dark and stormy.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.